This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Matt Wolf. Matt's a senior leader at RSM. RSM's the leader in sort of middle market private equity advising, consulting, and deal work. Matt helps to head up the valuation practice and has a brilliant perspective on what's going on in the world. Matt, a couple of sort of stats came out this morning that struck me. First, new claims for jobs, for jobless benefits, went up by 50,000 unexpectedly to 420,000. We still have a reduced amount of people that are on unemployment, down to 12 million from a high of almost 33 million last June. So a huge move in the right direction. What's your sense? Jobless claims go back up. Does that lead the Fed to just go a little slower in raising rates and tapering? And does that mean we stay in this Goldilocks type moments for a little bit longer, where rates are low and private equity is investing so heavily because they see valuations staying high? What's your sense of this? Is it a good news, bad news things that jobs go up a little bit, jobless benefits, you know, jobless claims for new jobless benefits go up a little bit? What's your sense of what this all means?
Yeah, it's a great question, Scott. And I think it's, you know, we get the jobless claim numbers every week, and it is, you know, we pay attention to that. I think it's important to look at the trends, and you nailed the trends, right? We're down significantly from where we were last June. We think it will continue to trend down. You know, our view is still that there's no rush to raise interest rates. We've seen a lot of the lumber prices and other sort of inflationary prices come down. So I think that some of that is beginning to work itself out of the supply chain and truly is transitory. So we would expect sort of this rate environment to continue, which will foster deal activity. But on the labor side too, so you do the deal, you buy the company, how do you find the people that you need in the right markets with the right skills? You know, that's a big challenge that we think will last much longer than the transitory inflation. And we're seeing some pretty creative ways of dealing with that.
And you see, for example, I mean, I talk to hospitals and health systems every day. You see some hospitals and health systems that are crazily busy again with what were deferred procedures. So they're doing those procedures again. And yet you have a couple hospitals that are having to close operating rooms, not because of too many COVID patients, but because they can't staff them fully. How much is the staffing issue going to become a big concern, not just in healthcare, but in business overall?
Yeah, I think it's already a big concern, as you said, and it will remain a big concern. One of the main, you know, there are a lot of reasons why people are out of the labor market, and one of them is the availability, a reliable availability of childcare and schools. And as that has, you know, become more reliable, people feel comfortable sending their kids to daycare. You know, we've started to see some re-enter the labor force. We've seen that labor force participation rate increase, which is good. But you know, now we're seeing the Delta variant and particularly in some geographies, low vaccination rates. We're heading back into the fall. People spend more time inside. I think there's a lot of questions of, are we going to have to see more social distancing activities? Are schools going to be virtual, go hybrid? Whereas I think maybe even a month ago, we thought, oh, it's going to be business as usual. If that happens again, if schools, daycares, others are disrupted, and we have to go back to virtual hybrid for kids, I think that labor force participation rate will remain depressed, and it will continue to be difficult to find the right people with the right skills in the right markets.
Right. I mean, literally fascinating. This Delta variant picks up steam. It's going to be a whole-fledged disaster this fall between, you're exactly right. A lot of people don't go back to work, not because they're lazy, not because of unemployment benefits, not because of a variety of reasons that are put out there in the political, you know, ecosphere, but because they don't have childcare. They don't have somebody to watch their children. And they don't have somebody to watch their children. They can't go back to work. And school, you know, is the greatest educational institution in the world, plus the greatest babysitting place in the world. And the baby's not fair because it's kids of all ages that parents need to be taken care of so that they can work. But these are real strains, and they do slow down. You know, you're seeing some rise again in the percentage of people in the workforce, but that hit a much lower number this past year due to not having places to put one's kids during the school day.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, as we were talking earlier, this is probably going to be part of the next normal, something that employers of all industries are going to have to wrestle with and identify how can we support in a labor base, an employee group that is facing these unprecedented challenges that we need to be more flexible as employers than we ever have before. And those that can figure it out and make it work and be flexible and support their employees, they will be the ones that attract and retain the right workforce. And I don't care what business you're in. I mean, business is people. And so if you can attract and retain that right mix of people, you will be successful.
Fantastic. And Matt, what else are you focused on this year? I mean, watching these jobless benefits closely, I saw Blackstone report a magnificent second quarter this morning with great appreciation in their investment assets. But that must be the same for everybody. But also, it's like assets under management, almost $694 billion. Crazy numbers. What other issues are you watching right now, or what are you most focused on this year?
Yeah. Also, you know, infrastructure bill and the sort of pay fors that will support it coming out of DC. What does that look like? You know, I think whether it comes through a normal appropriations process or, you know, increasingly looks like it'll be some kind of reconciliation bill, is almost irrelevant. It's just, you know, what is that going to, at least for business, you know, what is it going to pay for? What is it going to do? You know, we're still thinking that perhaps a lot of this infrastructure might come with some sort of infrastructure bank that gets created, possibly as sort of like an NGO to support this. And what does that mean for business and opportunity as we all try to navigate this kind of unprecedented, or at least in, you know, recent memories or our lifetimes, investment in the U.S. infrastructure? How will that change the game, and what does that mean for business going forward?
Literally just fascinating to watch what is likely to happen here, and I guess we'll see how it plays through. I mean, the tea leaves in Washington are increasingly challenging to read, as is the political climate in the country, you know, for this mega infrastructure bill and so forth. I mean, it's really a divided nation. It's really trying to understand what's acceptable and what's not, and where people want to see the country go, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's so important. It has such a broad impact across industries that you need to try to understand it and create contingency plans for if this happens or that happens, but it's just increasingly opaque, and it'll probably get a little more opaque before it gets any clearer.
No, I think that's exactly right. And anyways, Matt, it's always a pleasure to visit with you. I appreciate your time so much. Thank you for joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast, the Becker's Private Equity Podcast this morning. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Scott.